God is doing great things. We don't always see it directly, but it's coming soon. I think we are seeing direct things that He's doing, but it's amazing in the middle of the direct things to see what He's doing in between those things. And that's always very powerful. And it's a great privilege for me to pray for you each day. It really is. And I hope that you're praying for me as well. And that you're praying for each other. How many of you are praying each day? Spending time with the Lord. Opening the Scripture. Say the things that God has taught me over the past several months are just incredible, friends. And I think about that verse in Jeremiah where he says, "Call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things." And as we open the Word of God, the Spirit of God will come and He will lead us in an understanding of the Scriptures. I think about when Jesus breathed upon the disciples, and it says when the Holy Spirit came upon them, the Scriptures were open to them. And there is a rich blessing, there is a rich joy in understanding the Scripture. Yes or no? When God begins to move upon your heart, He begins to show you things in Scripture, you just want to jump up and leap for joy. How many of you have had that experience before? And you're just so excited. And as well, when you are on your knees and when you are pleading before the Lord to ask Him to do something in your life or something in someone else's life, and you see that thing happen, how many of you jump for joy? You know, friends, if there's one thing I could tell you as your pastor, it is that you need to spend whatever amount of time you're spending. I don't need to know the time, but whatever amount of time you're spending in the Word of God and in prayer, you need to increase it. Beginning today, you need to spend more time with God, more time in the Scripture. Jesus, friends, I don't know that I've ever had the sense that Jesus is coming soon stronger than I've had in the past year. We see signs on every hand. We see things that are taking place that we've never seen before. And everything that we have preached for the last 150 years as a movement of God in the last days, we are now seeing happen before our very eyes. How many of you have seen that? I know I keep saying that, but don't be alarmed. I'm not dementia, but I know that I say it over and over again. And just so you'll know, I'll continue saying it, that Jesus is coming soon and we need to be ready. Our lives need to be aligned with His will. Our lives need to be surrendered to Him. And it's more important than anything else that you're doing. If you're doing something that's getting in the way of being in the presence of God on a daily basis, you need to remove it. And if it's your children that prevent you from doing that because you're so busy with them, you need to kneel down with them in the presence of God together. Amen? We need that experience with God. Jesus is coming soon, and that ought to make us tremble. It ought to make us tremble. It ought to make us realize the seriousness of the times in which we're living. And as we approach Unlock Revelation, friends, as I've said before, this may be our last opportunity to openly preach God's message. What are you doing today for God's kingdom? What are you doing today to reach out to those around you, to reach out to people that don't know Christ and draw them near to Him? Friends, we may be introverts and that's okay. God's going to empower you to do what He's calling you to do. Amen? In your hand this morning is a prayer list. And I thought of everything that I could think of that could be a ongoing, regular prayer list for our church. I had some people help me with that. I sent out a first list and then I returned, and it's divided up into four categories there. I'm not going to read through all these with you, but I'm going to invite you to take this list. Don't lose it. Don't lay it somewhere. Forget about it. But keep it in your Bibles And every day, as you kneel before the Lord, some people say, well, Pastor, I kneel down and pray, and I pray for 5 minutes, and then I just don't know what to pray for. This will keep you praying for at least a good 30 minutes. You just go down through the list, and you're not going to get up for a while. You understand? Now, maybe you don't have time to pray for the whole list every day. Break it up. Pray for a section each day. Amen? And we want God's continued blessing, friends. We're not going to get it if we're not on our knees. We're not going to get it if we're united, if we're not uniting together and calling upon Him. Your marriage in trouble? Get on your knees. Can't bring your kids to, your kids just continue to whatever? Get on your knees. Lost your job? Get on your knees. You depressed? You discouraged? Get on your knees. Somebody in the church messes with you, they say something to you that you feel is unchristlike, don't go to somebody else and complain. Don't stay at home. Get on your knees. Got money problems? Get on your knees. I'm believing more and more every day. God's been waking me up early, early, early in the morning. And I'm seeing answers to prayer. And one of my prayers is that my congregation and Lansing would become more spiritual, godly people. I'm not saying you weren't spiritual before. I'm not saying you weren't godly before, but that you become more. Because we all have a certain place, we all have more to grow. How many would agree with that this morning? So this is an invitation from your pastor, especially as we approach Unlock Revelation. Take this list is not going to expire at the end of this month or the end of this year. This is a list that you need to be praying for until Jesus comes again. How many would be willing to commit to praying to this thing? However you decide to do it. But pray, friends. Pray. Be on your knees. God will draw close to you. He will draw near to you. You will sense His presence. Don't get up until you know He has blessed you. You have to be late for work and whatever else. I know people say, well, it's easy for you to say that because you're the pastor and you're paid to pray. Well, let me tell you. If this wasn't my job, because I have been in this church for a chunk of time when it wasn't my job, and it was still the priority. It needs to be your priority. This morning, I want to share with you just a few verses. I planned for a little shorter message this morning because of baptisms and so forth. Wasn't that a blessing? Yes. Thomas and Lydia, we're so excited. Welcome you into our family. I know that there's many others. You know, there's folks that we are working with. I'm anticipating a harvest in Unlock Revelation. But it's not dependent upon my preaching. It's not dependent upon the advertising. It's dependent upon your prayers and my prayers, I include myself, and the people that you reach out to and invite. That's what it's dependent upon. And God's blessing is going to be poured out. Amen? So this morning I want to share with you a few stories and some verses about how God has been blessing. And so we're going to pray together, and we're going to just dive in here for the next few minutes. Let's bow our heads together and ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we ask this morning that You would awaken our hearts. Lord, we cannot afford to be asleep today. We cannot afford to be cradled and rocked in the devil's spell, a sleepy slumber, because, Lord, time is running out. And we are the only people on this earth that truly understand the depth of the message that Jesus is coming soon. And if we are not awake, Lord, who will be awake? If we are not proclaiming, who will proclaim? You will raise up people whom we don't even know to preach Your message if Your people will not arise. So now today, Lord, awake us out of Laodicea slumber and draw us sweetly near to You, Lord. Be in our hearts, Lord, and in these last days be in our mouths, that we may speak to the world the salvation and the love and the grace and joy that you want to bring to them before your son's return. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And our scripture reading this morning, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. I want you to read this verse again to you. And this is a verse that I used to share with my AFCO students. Every time they would go out, every Tuesday or a Thursday and Sunday, Tim was there. He remembers. Tim, raise your hand there. One of my old students. And he's visiting with us today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. I would always tell them this verse because they sometimes get discouraged about their soul-winning efforts. You know, they would knock on doors and people would refuse them and they'd be, you know, upset about it and sad about it. And we would often quote this verse every day before outreach. And it's a verse that you can tuck away in your own heart. And when people scorn you for doing good, Jesus told us beforehand that men would love darkness more than light in the last days, did He not? He told us, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. So we can expect it. But the Lord Jesus gives grace and strength and encouragement and power to overcome not just what is on the outside that is seeking to drown us and destroy us, but that which is also where? On the inside. How many of you are thankful today that the power of Christ living in you is enough to overcome this world? Not just the outside, but the inside as well. Aren't you thankful for that today? Are you excited today about Jesus? Are you excited that Jesus is coming soon? Are you excited that right now Jesus is in the heavenly sanctuary and He's interceding for you and I today? Are you thankful for that, friends? Are you lifting your prayer requests to Him? Are you uniting with Jesus in prayer? Are you letting the Holy Spirit carry your requests to be mixed with the righteousness and the prayers of Jesus before the throne of God? Are you thankful today to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian? Yes or no?
Yes.
You got to convince me of it. Yes or no?
Yes.
Amen. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. The Bible says, let us not grow what? Let's read it together, friends. I'll start again. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I'm going to tell you a story about two of our church members. I thought I saw them pull up, but they're not sitting where they usually sit, so I don't know if they're here or not. But Jim and Georgia Kennedy, are you here? There they are. They're in the back. They're just sitting backwards. I don't want to embarrass them for a minute. They don't have any idea that I'm doing this. I do this to my church members sometimes. They love me for it. But let me tell you, Jim and Georgia are faithful Christians. Now, they wouldn't tell you that, but I'll tell you that. And here's how I know why. Because when Jim had surgery, went to visit them, he was encouraged. He's trusting in the Lord in his trial. And when I went to visit them at their house, they told me the story about a young lady. I won't mention her name because she's going to come to church at some point. And she was their physical therapist. And she, while she was treating Jim and working with him, she asked the question, you guys are Christians, aren't you? And they said, yes, we are. And she says, what church do you go to? And I said, well, we go to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And she said, you know, I'm just so thankful because there's such a glow about you guys. I'd be interested to know more about your church. Now, Jim, sitting there in pain, and he's glowing. How many of you can say amen? He's shining through his trial. Now, they're probably turning red back there, but don't worry. It's okay. And so they told me that story. And I said, give me her phone number. I want to call her. So I called her up, and I thanked her as their pastor for taking good care of my members. And then I got to talking with her and asked her about where they go to church, and they go to a church at another church there, but they've not been real happy with it. And her husband is very interested in prophecy. How about that? Well, I find out that Kayla Lowndes is also a friend of hers, and they've been in Bible study groups together, and she's been asking her questions about our church. How many can say amen? Then, lo and behold, I'm in Chipotle one day. I've seen a lot of my church members at Chipotle. And they've seen me there. I go there a lot. And it's a quick, wholesome lunch. And I'm standing there getting my water. And I look over, and there's that young lady. I've never met her before. I've only talked to her on the phone. I said, "Are you so-and-so?" I said her name, and she said, "Yes." And I looked at her before I talked to her, and she looked at me, and it was like we were looking at each other, and we knew each other, but we didn't want to say anything. But, you know, I just prayed for boldness, and the Lord granted it. And I said, "You know, I don't want to seem weird, but are you so-and-so?" And she says, "Yes. Are you Pastor Wes?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "Oh, it's great to meet you." So we were on Facebook. Facebook friends. So we talked a little bit, and she says this. She says, "You know, it's really strange that I keep bumping into your people." She says, "I think that God's trying to tell me something and that I need to come to your church." So I ended up mailing her a packet of a couple little Bible study material, and we've been in correspondence. And I believe, and I'm praying, and I'll invite you to join me, that they will come to the meetings. Her husband is hungry for prophecy, she said. He loves prophecy. You know what, friends? Prophecy is still the number one thing that draws people to our church. Because people are wanting to know what in the world is happening in this world. And we are the ones, out of all the people groups on the earth, we are the ones, the only ones, that have the answer. We have the answer. Now, I'm not criticizing other churches, don't get me wrong, but we have an understanding of prophecy that's intelligent, logical, and reasonable. I've baptized a lot of atheists, not because of my special talent, but because of the power of God's message in the last days. Amen? It pieces together. Now, I want to take you to another verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and some beautiful verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you haven't figured out, this is an inspirational sermon this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." How many of you this week, at some point or another, have felt hard pressed? You felt hard pressed? How about in the last month? You felt hard pressed? How many of you have felt perplexed at some point last month? How many of you have felt persecuted or been persecuted in the last month? How many of you have felt struck down at some point? But the promise is there, isn't it? We might be hard-pressed, but we are not what? Crushed. Why are we not crushed? Because the hand of God is over your life today. The hand of God is preserving you today. The hand of God is upholding you. As the enemy seeks to take your life, he's holding you up today. He's holding you. You might have felt perplexed. You might have been in perplexity about something. Maybe something happened in your life. But as you go to your knees in prayer, the God of heaven comes to us to bring comfort, does he not? Yes or no, friends? You might have felt persecuted. Maybe somebody attacked you. Maybe somebody said something negative to you this week about your faith. But you were not what, friends? You're not forsaken. You might be the minority wherever you work. You might be the minority in the world, but we are the majority in the universe. Yes or no? There's more that serve God in the universe than do not. How many of you can say amen today? Amen. Now, dropping down to we'll read verse 10. "Always caring about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." Dear friends, we are always carrying with us the death of the Lord Jesus. And when we do this, when the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus is alive in our hearts, it can do nothing else but bring death to the man of to the flesh inside of our hearts. Yes or no? And so the death of Jesus brings life to us. How many of you can say amen? But then he says, verse 11, "For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. What he's not talking about there, he's not talking about being burned at the stake or being beheaded. He's not talking about that kind of death. He's talking about the fact that the death of Jesus brings life to us. And when it brings life to us, it also brings death to us. What kind of death does it bring? The death to self. And when we die to self, it brings life to who? To who? To others. To the world. Yes or no? Does that make sense? Jesus lives, He lived, and He died to bring life to us. Jesus' death brings life to us. And our death brings life to others. Death to self. Friends, if there are people in your life that are not being brought to life, it could very well be because we have not died to self. We need to make the decision today to put self to death, yes or no? You don't have the power to do that, but Jesus does. You give your will to Him to be dead to yourself. You say, Lord Jesus, live more in me, because the more Jesus lives in you, the less self can live in you. How many can say amen? How many want that experience today? Then he looks down and he says in verse 16, therefore, do not, what? Lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are what, friends? Temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What's he telling us to do? He's telling us to look heavenward with the eye of faith. Don't look at your current situation. Look bigger and above you and realize that there's something bigger to hang on to and then just the troubles that you're going through in your life. You remember that a few weeks ago, the guy was here and he gave his testimony, maybe a month ago, last month, and he had that rope. Well, that little, he stole my illustration. I was going to use that one at some point. Probably would have been today. But he had that rope, and that rope was super long. It was just coiled up there. And he had a little piece of tape on the end of that rope, and he said, just this portion of the rope symbolizes your life. 60, 70, 80, 90, maybe you'll be 100 years old. But the rest of the rope symbolized what? Eternity. Friends, too often we are too wrapped up in ourselves. Too often we are looking at our own problems. We are looking at our own difficulties. We are looking at our own troubles in this life. But we are not looking at them through the eyes of faith. If you look at them through the eyes of faith, you will see that God has a grander plan in the midst of your troubles. If you look at it through the eye of faith, you will recognize that it could be through your troubles, through your circumstances, through your trials, God is looking to grow you to be more like Christ. Through the eye of faith, we see that my life here is not all that there is, but that I am a part of something bigger, something greater, something grander than myself and yourself. In this country especially, we are too wrapped up in ourselves. We think that everything has to go just the way we desire it to in order for us to be happy and spiritual people. But let me tell you, when Jesus Christ lives within you, it doesn't matter what your outward circumstances are. You can have peace, you can have contentment, and you can have joy. Because the day is coming when you and I are going to be put into prison. We're going to be forsaken. We're going to be persecuted. It's coming. I'm not trying to scare people. People will sit around and say, oh, you're just trying to fear-mongering. It's not fear-mongering when it's going to happen. I'm speaking the truth to you is what I'm doing. Don't give me any fear-mongering. It's the truth. Somebody said it. It's already happening around the world today. It's already happening. And we are privileged in this country for it not to be happening yet. But let me tell you, friends, probably so, that the persecution that will take place in the streets of America will be worse than it will be anywhere else in the world. Victory through trouble. Let me tell you, we had problems with our church roof. How many of you remember that? How many of you, it's still fresh in your memory? I try to block it out, but it's still there. We thought, man, we're going to spend $20,000 on a roof. We raised the money. Praise God. Did God not bless? How many of you believe God blessed? God blessed. There was a young man standing outside that roof, working on the roof, and I began to talk to him. And he began to tell me how he was previously in the largest gang in Lansing. Tattoos all over him. He used to be a gang banger on smoke. He said he smoked dope every day since he was about 8 years old. But a few years ago, the Lord Jesus changed his life. The Lord Jesus, he received Christ and his life was changed. And now he could not stop telling others about Jesus. He said his family gets sick and tired of hearing him. But we met at a restaurant and he had three kids with him that they had been to church that day who had just accepted Jesus that same day. The guy's a soul winner. He's reaching out to others and he doesn't even understand the full message. And so I said, hey, let's go and meet at a restaurant and let's visit together. So he brought his family and he called me just before we were going to go to Chipotle, ironically. And he calls me before, he says, hey, can we go over to Applebee's? And I thought to myself, well, you know, I don't know if there's anything I can eat there. I did find something. But anyway, we went there and I was thinking to myself, you know, this is selfish. This is where self rises up. I was thinking to myself, well, I want to pay for the meal. And I'm thinking it's going to be expensive at Applebee's, right? So I don't really want to go there. But you know what? He wanted to go there. He said, I'm bringing my whole family. And I thought, oh boy, really expensive. Let me tell you, it was. But the Spirit of God said, go there. Go there. So I said, sure, let's go. Went there. And we were sitting there talking about the Lord. We're going to do Bible studies together. And out of the blue, our waiter is coming over and serving us. And he begins to talk to me. And it seems to be an interesting occurrence that the Lord will impress me on certain days to wear an amazing fact shirt. And that day he impressed me. And so I wore my amazing fact shirt. There I was sitting there with the Amazing Facts logo. And he comes up and he says, oh, he says, Amazing Facts. He says, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I said, you are. He's about maybe just a little under 30 years old. He says, yes. He says, I just got out of jail about a year ago, out of prison. He said, I was in prison for about 2 years. And he says, and I watched Doug Batchelor while I was in prison. And he said, and I really wrestled with that message and the truth, he said, for about 9 months. He says, but now I realize that it's true. And he says, and I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I said, well, have you ever been baptized? He says, no, I've not been baptized yet. He says, but I consider myself to be a Seventh-day Adventist. I said, well, praise the Lord, brother. And so we exchanged numbers and we've been in contact. But listen, friends, God is working. Look what the problem of the roof led to. Now, I don't know that there could have been anyone in the church that was grumbling under their breath more about that roof than your pastor. I was not happy about it. I was not happy. And the amount of money. I don't like spending money on buildings. I like spending money on people, on souls. Amen? But look what God has done. Through the challenge, He's brought what? He's brought people. How many can say amen? Amen. Now, one more verse. Actually, two more verses. Hey, we're going to get done by 12:30. How many can say amen? Revelation chapter 10. Now, you may not understand this because I'm not going to go through the whole study. But I'm just going to say it. And if you're visiting with us today, come and talk to me and we'll study this from the Bible. And it'll make sense to you. But in Revelation chapter 12, it gives the history of God's church from the first century all the way down to where we're at today. Are you with me, yes or no? And it describes the characteristics of God's last day church. Revelation 12:17, the dragon was enraged with the woman and he went to make war with her to keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. That describes the Seventh-day Adventist church in the last days because they keep the commandments of God and they have the testimony of Jesus. Then in Revelation chapter 14, it describes the message of God's church in the last days, the everlasting gospel, the three angels' messages that will go into all the earth before Jesus comes. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But in Revelation chapter 10, it describes the prophetic rising of God's end time church. Are you with me? Yes or no? Most of you know this. If you don't, come and see me. But the Bible talks about a little book, and what book is that, everybody? It's the book of Daniel. And one time I was in a group of people and I asked them, how many of you understand and know what Revelation 10 is talking about? Nobody raised their hand. I'm so thankful today to hear people say the book of Daniel. They understand that. And so the book of Daniel, which talks about the great disappointment, but I want to drop down to verse 8. Verses 1 through 7 are significant, but not for the timing. I'm actually going to preach a message in our Unlock Revelation series on this whole chapter, so stay tuned. I'll give you the short version today. Verse 8. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be sweet as honey in your mouth. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. That's describing the time period of the late 1700s and early 1800s when people were studying their Bibles and believing that Jesus was coming back in the year 1844. And as they studied that, they learned that from that prophecy in Daniel chapter 8, the 2300-day prophecy. And they were so excited. It was sweet as what? Honey. But then it became bitter when the disappointment took place. And some people say, well, how then can it be God's church? Did the disciples not go through the same bitter disappointment? Yes or no? God has a habit of making divine appointments out of great disappointments. How many of you have found that to be true in your own life? Let me say that again. I think you're sleeping today. Are you sleeping? God has a great habit of making divine appointments out of great what? Disappointments. The roof is a great example. The cross is another example. 1844 is a third example. And there are many throughout history. It was God's prophetic leading to have the great disappointment. Aren't you thankful for that today? Because He wanted His people to understand, and He wanted to sift out the wheat. So the next time you go through a disappointment in your life and you're ready to quit, I'm not going back to church. So-and-so said this to me. So-and-so did this. So-and-so this problem, that problem. Just remember, God often brings great divine appointments out of great disappointments. What was the appointment? The appointment was verse 11, and he said to me, you must prophesy how? Again, about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. God brings divine appointments from great disappointments. He causes us to shine through trial. He causes us to be victorious through trouble. How many of you can say amen this morning? In due season, we shall what? Reap. And let me tell you the story about Lee quickly. I've been setting up contracts with radio stations across town to advertise the Unlock Revelation series. And we have a budget from the conference that they gave us, and they asked me to work on that. And so there was a man who I was working through with one station, and we were getting it all set up, and I had a couple phone calls with him, and on about the third phone call, he said, the strangest thing happened. He says, my wife's sister is part of your church. And he says, her sister sent her one of your invitations to these meetings that I'm setting up radio clips for. Radio spots for. And he says, my wife said, why don't you come with me to these meetings? What do you think about that? And so every time he's working on this radio station, what's he thinking about? Thinking about these meetings that God is inviting. I said, brother, I think that God works in mysterious ways, and I think he has something for you at these meetings. I think you ought to come. He said, well, I think I just might. I might consider it. You know, he didn't want to let me think that he was really going to come, but I think I'm going to consider it. I said, you consider it, and I'll be praying about it. This is a movement, friends. It moves. It doesn't sit still. We might be worshiping in four walls, but God is calling us today to move. How many of you want to be moving today? One more verse. Acts chapter 4. And this is the punch right here. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I love this verse. It's so beautiful. Acts chapter 4. They begin to pray. You know, it's interesting, friends, because they called the apostles in to the temple, the priests, and they said, you're spreading this Jesus business all over Jerusalem. And they threatened them and they beat them and they let them go. Now, what would happen to you today if you went into Meijer, not today, tomorrow? Today's a Sabbath. Remember that. You go into Meijer tomorrow and you have an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. And they jump up and they start to flail and they start to yell at you and they call other people around. Before you know it, there's 10 or 15 people around you. And they said, you're spreading this foolishness. We don't believe in God. And they start to beat you, and they beat you up right there, and they leave you laying there. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when they all leave and you're laying there and you've been beat up for the sake of Jesus? What are you going to do? You know what they did? They went back to the church, they told the story, and they prayed for more boldness. They prayed for more boldness. Would that be your experience? If Jesus is as real to you as he was to them, that would be your experience. The Bible says in verse 29, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all what, friends? Boldness, they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of the Lord Jesus, your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was what? It was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with what, friends? With boldness. I went to the bridge event a couple of weeks ago. And there was a couple there who were not Christian. And they heard my testimony. And afterwards, they came up to me and talked to me. And we exchanged numbers. And he began to call me, asking me to come and give them Bible studies. Think about that for just a minute. The boldness of people who are not even yet in the faith, asking the one who is in faith to come and give Bible studies to them. Let me tell you, friends, if we're not going to be bold to witness and to share with others, then God will embolden them to come to us. Amen. Now, don't use that as an excuse to not witness. But we need to pray for boldness, amen? It's on your prayer list sheet. How many of you today want to have boldness? How many of you today believe that God is working right here in Lansing? How many of you believe today that God is doing miracles? Tonight we're having the Vespers of the dental clinic. And we're going to share, come and share the stories if you volunteered. Come and hear them if you didn't volunteer of what God is doing. You want Jesus to be real in your life? Tell somebody else about him. Unlock Revelation is coming. 2.5 weeks. And may God stir our hearts that with all boldness, we would go forth to represent His name. How many of you will say, Lord Jesus, I give up myself for you? Lord Jesus, whatever you ask me to do, that's what I want to do. That's all that I can ask of you as your pastor. Just go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Open the doors for what you want me to do. And then do it. Would you have that experience today?
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.